I am in part two in my series on Hanukkah. It's the season, right? Someone go and get Veronica. It's time to celebrate Hanukkah. Here we are once again. All right, so in my second part of this series, I've entitled this The Illumination of Hanukkah. Illumination brings an awakening to that which is real, true, and transformative. It's like turning on a light in a dark room. Suddenly, you can see everything in the room. Spiritual illumination is not only being awakened to the spiritual and eternal realm, but also being transformed by the power of this kingdom. Hanukkah, also known as the Festival of Light, is the very season that marks the revelation of who Jesus actually is. So today we're going to jump into this encounter with Jesus 2,000 years ago, approximately 2,000 years ago, in the temple in Jerusalem at Hanukkah, during what's called the Celebration of Lights. John chapter 10, 22 through 23. We covered this last week. At that time, the Feast of Dedication, by the first century, had become known as the Feast of Lights, took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. Hanukkah means dedication. It's all about dedicating our lives to God and dedicating ourselves to His commandments, to walking in His ways. That's what Hanukkah means. By the first century, it took on a new name, the Festival of Light, because the symbol of the celebration was light itself. That's one of the reasons it transitioned in its name. It didn't displace the meaning of dedication. It added to it. It was another facet of it. So it's in this season that we really kind of like shore ourselves up and say, God, pour out your spirit. Give me a hunger for truth, for righteousness, for your ways. I want to be committed to you and your ways, not being swayed and seduced by the ways of our culture, be it our society or church culture, which has gone so far to the left. So it's a time of dedicating ourselves to the Lord and His ways. In addition to that, a celebration of God as light, right? It's the Festival of Lights. Light is a symbol of God in Judaism, in the Tanakh. It's a symbol of God. It says that God clothes himself in light. He dwells in unapproachable light. The light of God, he is light, is so light that a mortal coming into that light would perish, would die, because of the intensity of the light itself. But this is who God is. He is light. It's not one of his attributes. It's a part of his divine essence. Throughout the Tanakh, we see the use of this term light as a metaphor for illumination or revelation. We have that today also in our culture. We talk about the light going on whenever we catch and understand a particular concept that maybe we were struggling with. We use the phrase, oh, the light finally went on. I understand it, right? And so we use light as a metaphor as well. Let me give you one of the texts in the Tanakh where this term light is used as a metaphor for revelation. It's Psalm 36 in verse 10. In your translation, it may be verse 9, depending on your translation. It says, for with you, speaking of God, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Doesn't make a lot of sense if you took that literally. In your light, we see light. The sages broke that down and unpacked that for us a long time ago and basically said that this was a metaphor. In fact, it was a deep revelation concerning the Messiah. They said that the first reference to light in the passage was a reference to the Messiah. The second part, where light is used again, is in reference to revelation. So if we were to retranslate that in light of the sages and their understanding, it would state, in your Messiah, we see light, or in your Messiah, we receive illumination, or in your Messiah, we receive revelation, right? Light reveals that which exists, but can't be seen in the absence of light. So this very messianic passage was giving us a look at Messiah and telling us that the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he's going to illuminate our minds, and we're going to begin to understand who God is and what is true and real, what is eternal. In John chapter 8, in verse 12, the words of Jesus, he spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus says, I am the one that reveals all things. I am the one that will illuminate so you can understand the meaning of life. What eternity is all about, what the spiritual realm is all about, what our realm is all about. I'm the one that comes to reveal that. Without me, you'll stumble around in the confusion and chaos of this world and all the ideas about it. But in me, you'll find your way. You'll find your footing. Things will make sense. You'll be able to navigate that which God has given by his design to be a blessing to us. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, he is the radiance of the glory of God. He is the radiance of the glory of God. He is the light of the glory of God. Glory has associated with it light. It's one of the aspects of what glory is. So this brilliance, this light that God dwells in and is, it says that Jesus is that light. He is that glory of God. He manifests that light. John 12, verse 35. Jesus said to them, for a little while longer, the light is among you. Speaking of himself. Walk while ye have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. We live in a dark world. It's a very dark world. It's got plenty of cruel haunts, if you will. When you look at the great crises that we have all around us, we begin to understand how truly evil this world is, right? The sex trafficking, the human trafficking, the rape, the murder, the violence. I mean, it's just like, you know, everywhere. It's permeated our world. Jesus says, I've come into the world to bring light into the world. I've come into the world to help people come out of the darkness and grasp life itself and begin to live as God intended us to live. This is who Jesus is. He says, follow me and you won't stumble around, get caught up, tripped and trapped in the darkness and the evil. Later in John 12, verse 36, he says, while you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become sons of the light. Fascinating. I'm leaving. But my light is staying because you are my light. You are my lights. Each and every one of you that has the Holy Spirit in you is one of the lights, the points of light of God Himself. You're the hope of the world, whether they realize it or not. You have the answers for everyone around you, even yourself, because of the light that dwells in you. You are lights. This is our festival of lights, right? We're part of that. It's amazing when you think about it. John 10:24. Back to our passage. Hanukkah, Jerusalem, the temple. Jesus is there. The Jews gathered around him and said, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." What's that all about? If you read prior to this event in Jerusalem, Jesus has had a myriad of encounters with his people. He has done some extraordinary things. And some of the most extraordinary miracles that he's done, he will tell the people after healing them or whatever, right? "Go and tell no one who I am." He hid who he was for a long, long time. He told people who encountered the power of who he was to not tell anyone. What's that all about? When you think about that, right? Doesn't he want people to know? There's a larger reason why he's hiding that, that is tied into spiritual warfare and the enemy and what the enemy's trying to do. That's a different sermon for another time, okay? But suffice it to say, he's been very coy about who he really is up to this time. They say, "Hey, quit beating around the bush. We're tired of the word games. Speak to us plainly. Just tell us, yes or no, are you the Mashiach, the long-awaited anointed one? Tell us." After all, 'tis the season of light. It is our festival of illumination when things should be revealed. So why don't you reveal yourself? Tell us who you really are. When we understand the context of this discussion and how it's tied into Hanukkah, it's so fascinating. Let's read on, John 10:25 through 29. Jesus answered them, "I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me." Is that clear? Not really. He's being coy again. "But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." But since you asked, since it's the season of revelation, I'll answer. Verse 30, "I and the Father are one." About as clear as you can state it. He finally comes out for the first time and says something so clear and shocking, staggering in its implications. "I and the Father are one." Wasn't it Isaiah who said, "They shall call him Emmanuel," which means God with us? That Jesus, the Son of God, is the revelation of God? The one who comes and reveals the infinite one, the finite one who the fullness of deity dwells in, reveals the infinite one? Yes, Jesus is the visible manifestation of the invisible God, the finite manifestation of the infinite God. He is one with God. As it says in Colossians 2:9, the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. So after a long, long time of being coy and hiding who he is, he makes his way down to Jerusalem. We talked about that taking 4 or 5 days in the winter on foot, 8 hours a day, or staying 10 weeks after Sukkot. Either way, a big cost for him, a great personal cost to be in the temple at the season of Hanukkah, known as the Festival of Light, Illumination, Revelation. He wanted to be there. I think this is so intriguing. I think he wanted to be there because the celebration of light is all about God. God is light. So you throw in a big celebration of light, I think I'll go because I am the light of the world. I am the light of God. I am God. So he shows up at the festival to make it clear and reveal that he is one with the Father. That's a mic drop for the Jewish ears, right? Maybe a little bit vague for the Gentile ear. But nonetheless, beautiful in every way. So in conclusion and application, Jesus is the reason for the season. The season of the Festival of Lights. For he is light. I want to give you another picture of the power of this light being, this Messiah of Israel, the Son of God. It's found in Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. Jesus, after 6 days, it says, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. Verse 2, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. I think everything changed for them that day when they saw the man Jesus in his human nature, clothed in flesh, all of a sudden turns into a light being, and all they can see is light. And they began to realize who he really is. The very light of the world, the light of God coming into the world to save us. This is the very theme and essence of the Festival of Lights. It's at this time that we dedicate ourselves to the Messiah. Like it says in Revelation 14:12, here's the ones that make it to the end. Here's the ones that persevere. They don't give up. They're found in the end after the crisis of the persecution of the Antichrist. Here are the ones that believe in Jesus and keep the commandments of God. Hanukkah on steroids. It's so inspiring. It is so illuminating. Jesus truly is the season. Are the reason for the season. Okay. I think I just want to say this too. I'm going to read the rest of this because in saying that he is one with the Father, in our Gentile ears, it doesn't mean as much as what it means in the ears of Jews. So let's step into the Jewish world and kind of get a grasp on what that meant to them when he said that. John 10, 31 through 33, the Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? The Jews answered him, it is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy. Because you, being a man, make yourself God. When he said, I and the Father are one, he was clearly stating, without dispute, I am God. Now, it would have helped if he transfigured himself at that time, right? I don't think they would have stoned him or tried to stone him, you know? But he didn't. And so there was a big issue about what he had said and their understanding that he was just a man, therefore constituting blasphemy. I want to encourage us with this idea that Jesus is more than what we've ever imagined. He's much, much more than we've ever imagined. We see him in his humanity for the most part. We get glimpses of his divinity, but only glimpses. The reality is there's so much more about him, so much more glory and power and honor than we've ever, ever imagined. I think we're so casual with Jesus because we have this culture in our society, our church culture over the last couple of decades is really focused on Jesus being our friend, right? He's a brother. He's our friend. He's like our elder brother, you know? And I love that. It's true. It's true. But it needs some balance. You know, we need to understand he's more than our brother. He's God himself, the one that created all things, seen and unseen, out of nothing. I mean, it's just like, how can he even relate to us? You know, I get it now. When I read in the passages, you know, it says that he snuck away, you know, to get away from his disciples. You know, they were always looking for him. Where'd he go? You know, he's like hiding from them. You know, he says on one occasion, how long do I have to be with you, you knuckleheads, right? I mean, he's amazing in every way. Yes, he's our friend, but he's also God manifest in order for us to understand who the Father is, to save us, deliver us, to give us a new creation, a new heavens and a new earth. He is everything. So our application, here's our application. As we come into the week of Hanukkah or 8 days of Hanukkah, engage the kids. If you have kids, engage the kids. Make this 8 crazy nights. Fun, puzzles, games, food, sweets, candelabras. Get a Hanukkah from Amazon.com. You know, it's easy. They got a great selection. Go there. No, I don't get paid to advertise for them. It's just easy peasy. Get on there. Get a Hanukkah. Get some candles. I recommend if you got young kids, get the electric ones. Don't burn the house down. But the kids love that. The whole celebration of Hanukkah engages our 5 senses in such a way that we're able to understand Jesus and the stories about him, who he is and what he's done for us, what he's going to do. It's all tied up in this week of Hanukkah. So get the family ready. Make it a big deal. Put up a bunch of lights. It's the festival of light. Man, I'll tell you what. I put up a ton of lights. I put up too many lights. Mine is just like overwhelming. It's like, you know. Feel like you're on LSD, but you're not. But it's just like so much. It's like a lot of stuff going on, you know. But you can do a little bit or a lot, whatever works for you. But get some lights. Put them up. Get some decorations. Tell the stories. Go to our website on our resource page. We have all kinds of things to help you. We have a Messianic Hanukkah guide that gives you all kinds of stories. We have a blessing guide that tells you what the blessings are on each night when you do the candles. We have a reading plan that will take you through Daniel and all that was prophesied and how it got fulfilled in the book of Maccabees. The whole story of Hanukkah is there from the Tanakh right into the book of Maccabees. We have a Hanukkah prep list or a playlist on Spotify. Click on it and go to your Spotify and you can have our Hanukkah playlist for the 8 days of Hanukkah. Get into the season. Come on. Go give Veronica. It's time to celebrate Hanukkah. Shabbat Shalom.